feeling, if you like, the top of the head as if kind hands are cradling it. Feeling the soles of the feet as if kind hands are cradling your feet, touching your feet. This body that mysteriously makes itself for a while. As if because of the touch on your feet, whether kind hands or the earth, the sand, whatever would be more friendly for you. Or just now, the air. As if with the friendly touch of the air or imagined kind hands, imagined grass or sand or water, you can feel the big toe, and the big toes connection down into the foot. The spreading web out through to the side of the foot, the small toe. Somewhere where at the same time we're allowed to be. Like, what if this is our Garden of Eden? No right, no wrong in the garden. And at the same time, being in the experience we call foot and knowing it's a mystery. Whose is it? And just feeling in that continuum of presence and connection where sometimes it's more fruitful and needed to feel how we really belong in there. This is my foot. I'm allowed to have a foot. I'm allowed to feel good in the foot. That flavor or that side of the continuum of presence, and sometimes more another side of life's foot. And just feeling what's more of a good medicine or nourishment for you today, to be more like, this is my foot, or this is not my foot. And both are flavors of presence and discovery sprouting. And if we can acknowledge that when there is a sense of sprouting and discovery, there's energy and it can be scary because we're leaving behind that inside of the seed and we're coming out of the shell of what we have known every time we're actually here. And just acknowledgement that there can be a feeling, ooh, it's scary, at the same time as it's delicious. The sprouting, the discovery, the unfolding of being here. Being alive. And not owning life. But to belong to life. The toes and the space between the toes where the skin might be touching one to another. The toes and the way that they connect into the foot. The bones of the feet, the web. The ball of the foot under the big toe. The arch of the foot as a whole, building to discover each part of it. And above the arch, the bones and connective tissue and skin that starts to connect the toe bones together to the leg. The heel. If you like. the inner ankle. The ankle that would touch the other ankle if we put our feet together. That world. Already existing. And noticing when we're invasive in our approach or stiff. Or relaxed. When we want to get something. Is it possible to feel at the same time? And can we maybe even feel in the inner ankle when there's more a sense of wanting to get something? Or get rid of something? Do we feel how that affects the tissues of the inner ankle, how those living cells experience or live in that atmosphere of pressure to get something or get rid of something. And the outer ankles, if you like. So there's probably thinking and emotion and mood and programming, and there's ankles. Perhaps our long lost intelligence and heart center is in our feet. If you like, there's the whole of the foot. Like its own living creature. If there might be a word of the day that you resonate with, that helps you kind of come out of your programming. And you say that silently in yourself, what happens in your feet? A word that helps you remember other layers of yourself innocence, courage. A wish to touch the sweet elixir of life, the sweet heart of life in this life. In our own way. If there's a word or image that has resonance for you, to be in touch with your willingness to be here as yourself, sprouting, not staying true to your past, but sprouting from what has come before to what is possible now. What is possible now that was impossible last week and last year? Having the taste of the unknown in your mouth. And just feeling how your feet feel if you connect with an image or word. And if it's hard to find any willingness, or it's hard to find a word or image that you resonate with about what calls you into the center of life, then you could gently play with fire. Gently notice if you're feeling negativity. What is it that you don't want to not have? We might feel uncomfortable because we feel like abandoned or it's too much. Or not good enough or whatever. And it's painful and unpleasant. Uncomfortable to not have. So we can feel the not enjoying not having. To find out what it is that is calling. I don't want to not have support or connection or space, inner direction. Flow. If I don't want to not have ease, then we can reduce the equation and feel an openness, willingness, love towards ease. So just gently feeling if that's possible or if it just wakes up the negativity more. But maybe today, allowing discovery to just inch along. To feel in the body how it is being in touch with what calls you to the center of life. And how it feels to be in your willingness to be called and to respond. Not how and where and what is it going to look like, letting the roots spread into the earth. And if you feel like continuing with the feet or continuing with the reflection of life calling, feel free. And another practice that's possible would be to come inside the skin of your body, somewhere or everywhere, for a while. Coming out of thinking again. Maybe letting thinking be as if way up there, waves on the top of the lake or the sea, and you're way down at the bottom. Feeling the skin. Settling back. Being heavy, being round. Being airy and being ground. And having skin. Allowed to be in your skin and even to have pleasure in the skin. Being allowed to be in touch with the mystery of life's skin. Feeling how the breath moves the skin, like gentle big waves on the sea. Waves that are maybe big and gentle enough that seabirds could just stay floating there. And then maybe, if you like, coming into the back of the body more fully. Revisiting the skin if and when you like. Coming into the back. Almost as if we are lying on maybe a silk. Cloth that's bigger than our body, wider. And sometimes feeling the back of the body, it's almost like something spreads a bit wider, even to the horizons. Or just as if we could feel the silk cloth that we would be lying on, but connects the legs and the arms, the head in the back. Allowing the back to open to life. to be a mystery. Thinking way up there on the surface of the water and the back down on the sand at the bottom of the water. The back and the breath, if you like, or the back with the openness. Horizon. And the lower belly gathering itself into itself, feeling itself like a little mound of sand. Pulling itself together, slightly lifting up from the base. anyone would like to ask or share anything.
Jitters. I jump all the time. And I'm not comfortable with that. Because then comes the thought, it's supposed to be like that. And I try to explain it to myself. So it's an energy, nervousness. So this is the first sitting lying down. That I stayed with it and didn't change the postures. I think my question is what it is. Is it normal? that's about the question.
So often with lying down, her legs jump. And she's not comfortable with it, because not because so much the legs jumping, but because the mind jumping and saying, is it supposed to be like that? Is it normal? What is it? And this meditation was the first one, so on this retreat, of not changing position to stop it, but staying with it. And how did it go?
Went down again, as long as when the concentration got up, jittering went down.
So as the concentration came up, the jittering, the movements went less this time. Sounds like a good experiment. So the first question was, is it normal? So yeah, it happens to some people fairly commonly. And we could make an idea. We could say, in general, it seems to be, but also, like, what will that actually be serving? And just checking that, is it supposed to be like that? How it so quickly happens that this is something I don't understand, is something wrong? We question our okayness when we don't understand. So noticing that, how fast that is and how believable. And then we could say, yeah, in general, people understand that to be a release that can be a good thing. But it doesn't mean, then what? It doesn't mean you next time have to stay with it, or next time you have to. Just checking what the understanding does to your willingness to be in your experience and serve the sprouting. Enjoy the enlivening, which is continually coming up to what I don't know. I don't yet know, I don't yet understand. So it's kind of like facing the wideness and intensity and beauty of life with love, even though knowing that some of what we're going to meet along the way is not going to be friendly, but that meeting it with love is often a good way to go. It doesn't mean hugging everyone. Love can move away, love can move toward, love can make a joke, love can. But the main thing is to notice that what's hard is the movement of the mind, not the movement of the body, in this case. And then allowing, it's allowed to be afraid. And then to understand why I'm afraid, that's also allowed. And having compassion for the fear, but not being all about that. Is important and possible. And takes everything. So kind of, if you think of like sports, like athletes who are like sweating and exerting and doing well or not, and then they have a break and someone gives them water and they have cloth and wipe off the sweat and maybe change their t-shirt. So like we can give ourselves some support. I think we don't, it's hard to accept like what a hard job it is to live with programming that's so distorted. We all have. And sometimes the kindness and honesty can seem hard, but it's because our programming is so distorted. And then we have the idea that it should be easy to just like, well, oh, I just don't understand, so I'm just a little afraid. And it's like, no, this is like all of our suffering is depending on this little, so it's worthwhile. Anything else? Yeah.
On my mind, and like, why is this happening? And because I feel that it's just extra mental activity. Maybe I need to use the words or the things that are coming to for the breakthrough. And I'm not sure if like to cancel it.
Yeah. Could you hear? In the paper that was up yesterday about the what I call the science of breakthrough and are traditionally called the hindrances or obstacles, which anyway, first of all, are just experiences in the mind and also mind-body that happen as part of the meditation process. So I talked about that where it's expansive and contracted or easy and hard, up and down, and that's not a going off track. It's part of the process. And so often it feels like there's a building up of energy towards flowing into a new level, I could say, or a new quantum leap. And in the buildup before the quantum leap can be very uncomfortable. It's when you want to go home, or you want to have pizza, or you hate whatever. What?
Buecas.
What is buecas? Bueca. Okay. Okay. Buecas is another example of what you might decide you have to have, and then you'll be okay once you get that. No energy, too much energy, doubt. When we just call it an obstacle, I think it's we're usually not very skillful with it. But when we feel that it might be something like happening, like some energy is rising, it's more energy than I'm used to having. And when is the storm cloud gonna rain? And so Leah's asking how to deal with it. What's the right way to deal with it? Which is the usual way we want. Give me the instruction manual that I think everybody else got when they were born and I didn't get. Because of our reliance on like pre-knowledge, knowing about it before it happens, we think that's the safe way and the best way. But it usually works better another way, which is being in touch with what's happening and making a best guess. So yeah, sometimes staying with, and sometimes changing the channel, sometimes just giving more space. So there's the restlessness in the mind, and there's also like the wild horses, let them have more room to run around. Eventually they might come back for an apple.
More space, as in
kind of like no big deal. Some thinking, it's uncomfortable. My brain is saying it's the end of the world. So what, no big deal. My brain is saying I have to right now call my boyfriend and tell him. So big. And other times there's something to kind of go with, to find a way of going with and let it develop that way. So one time, in the early first year of practicing intensively for me, I had a self-retreat day. I was volunteering in a meditation center and I had a self-retreat day, and I don't usually feel restless, and I was so restless, mostly body. And it was like, and this thing happened of kind of what does it want, or what do I want, what is this? But not like trying to figure it out from up here, but just kind of feeling, well, it feels like it would want to like stand at one end of my mattress on the floor and flop. So I'm like, okay, I flopped. And something came clear. So when it's the thinking, it's probably not going to be possible in the restlessness to distill to the what's moving, trying to move in a different way or come through. So, but you could kind of generally remember what's the subject and then check in later. Did something shift about this? Or you can try even in the moment of like, what is it that I don't want to not have, like we did today? I don't want to not have connection. I don't want to not have okayness, whatever. So that means that okayness is good. I can feel the goodness of okayness and start gathering with, I feel the goodness of okayness or support. Can be. But a kind of little bit, this ruthless. Do you know this? Ruthless. Being without Ruth. Ruthless. Not rootless, but it's if you know Ruth in the Bible, it's being without her, not having Ruth. It is. That's what it is. Does everybody understand the word now? No. Is Danny's in the kitchen? I can't hear it well enough to repeat in the microphone. Chasara chamin or something.
No mercy.
Okay.
no mercy. It can sound merciless without mercy. But again, it's because we're so distorted that sometimes reality check feels ruthless, merciless. To just notice, this is simply not true. This is simply my pain activated. This is simply not actually happening now to anybody else. It's in me. And it doesn't mean it's my fault and that I'm even more of a worm on the ground, but, well, that might be lovely to be a worm on the ground compared to being a human being with restlessness. But really grounding in knowing, like, this is just that part of the process where the energy is getting big and waking up some pain, and it could be towards the sprouting. If there could be a little bit of don't freak out. And there is a way, and I don't know how. And let life move. So thank you for still being here now at the beginning of our one-day retreat. Please enjoy the fullness of silence. Even if you're that restless, that you like, don't stay in your skin or whatever. So well, a couple of people had raised hands, but we had time in the evening, or you can come or leave a note. And so we have the silence now. Thank you.